Would you like to tell us the service times for your church?
Certainly. Burns Flat Cumberland Presbyterian Church, just north of the one and only traffic light on the east side of the road. Sunday mornings begin at 9 with a contemporary service, which means a little bit more modern music, words on the wall. The sermon is normally a little bit shorter, not every time. Sometimes I've kept them into Sunday school, but normally it's a shorter sermon and very, very comfortable contemporary. We're comfortable in all our services, but we made it so you could, you know, if you weren't used to regular church, as people grew up with who are my age, come in and say, okay, this is cool. We're worshiping God. We're singing songs. We have a message. We take up an offering. We do all those things. So that's at the 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we have our more traditional service. And we will sing some of those words on the wall songs along with some traditional hymns. The sermon's longer. We still take up an offering. We have a little children's church for that one. So 9 and 11, if you're looking for a place to come and worship. And in between, we squeeze our Christian education. We don't call it Sunday school anymore because people think, well, it's just for the kids. No, we continue through all ages, even our senior adults. Our senior adult and our middle agers, we combined. Because for a while, we had a lot of senior adults, and we've lost many of them because they were senior.
Right.
But we have, you know, I think our oldest is 77. I don't think we have anybody in our 80s left, but high 70s in there. Down to the youngest kid that comes in, there's a place for him in our Christian education. And we're back to Wednesday night, 6 to 7, no meal. We're just going in either to worship and learn and grow nearer to God. That's our mission. We want to grow near to God and receive that promise that he'll come near to us. So that's our Sunday and Wednesday.
Sounds good.
If you want to hear the sermon, you have to come inside.
You have to come inside. Yeah. All right, back to you. With your title, Into Practice.
Okay, well, kind of get started out. So let's look at some of those words to put into practice. And I'm going to look at Matthew 7, 7 and 8, a little bit before what I read. And this one, you know, not too restrictive. There's no thou shalt nots. Mm-hmm. It's not too sacrificial. There's no real pain there. We begin with something that seems mostly about us. Jesus began what we label chapter 7 with counsel against condemning judgment. Okay, we get that. Concluded this short set of words here with some very interesting words. Don't cast your pearls before swine. That's the beginning of chapter 7. A lot of different interpretations on that. In fact, there's some that are just really out there if you read all those. But I look at that and say, don't take your best and waste it on something that's not worth it.
Right.
Don't take your best efforts. When I preach the talents, I'll use this. And don't take your best efforts or gifts or anything that you've been given and waste it on something that produces no fruit. How don't we expend our best on something of no value? Well, maybe we don't waste our time finding faults in everyone else, and we spend that time working on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we work on ourselves? How do we do that? Well, in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, we get some directions. They are ask, seek, and knock. Here's a scripture again. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus says, participate in your own success. Participate in your own success. Think about what you need and asking for. He wants to give you what you need. And he tells us to seek. That means go after the thing. After we prayed for it, we just don't sit in the pew thinking, well, he'll bring it soon enough, I guess. But participate. Be a part of it. Put some effort into it. We're collaborating with God in getting what we need. We're working together on this. We prayed to him. We know he wants to give us good things, but part of those good things are us working for what we need. If we want to be patient, we need to start practicing some patience. Mm-hmm. If we want to be more loving, then we need to look for people that we can be more loving with us. You know, we are not just recipients when we pray to God. We're participants. Now, there's something. God, if you ask God for peace, he's probably just going to give it to you right then. Okay, you don't have to participate a lot other than just receive it. But if you are working towards something, you know God's called you to this, and it takes a 4-year degree, you're probably going to spend some time pursuing that, seeking that, doing those things that you think God wants this to be your path, and do that. And other things seem almost in the moment, like you ask for peace, and it comes. But we need to be prepared to do what we need to do when we are seeking, when we're going out after something. Then finally says, knock. Knock, okay. What's he saying? He said, there will come a point when you're there, when you're right there. So you knock and let the door be opened, and it's realized. You realize this thing you've been praying for. So like I say, with peace, you probably can't even get your hand up to knock, okay, because God's peace can come in an instant. Mm-hmm. But that thing that you said God told you to pursue might take a year, 2 years, three, 5 years, maybe longer than that. But we know we are participants as we ask, seek, and knock. And when you get there, don't whip out. You say, oh, I don't know what. And some people get so close and they never take the last step. Mm-hmm. It's just like, just one more step. That's all you got to do. Just take one more step and you'll realize what you've been going after. Jesus said, when you get there, don't whip out. Knock. It's there. Get to the door. Don't turn away and go home. Knock. And there's another reading that says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Ask for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then who are evil know how to give what's good, then your heavenly Father knows so much more. Well, when we ask, seek, and knock, God knows what's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, sometimes we may ask for something, and what's good for us is for him to remind us maybe you should ask for something else that doesn't help you at all. So sometimes we are redirected. Sometimes God lets us go down a path to learn the hard way, I think. But, you know, and there's some discernment in asking. You don't want to just, okay, God, I need everything in the world, so I'll be complete. Well, I think it's supposed to be a more personalized conversation. Like, God, I've been looking at myself. I think God would say, that's what I want you to do. I found these couple things. I need help with them. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of conversation. And I think God answers by opening some doors along the way and by watching us participate. So it's collaborative. We're working on this together. But God does know how to give good gifts. The heart of these scriptures tell us that if we can't figure out which way is up, we still give good things to our kids. If we can't figure out what to pray for, God knows what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we just need to start praying more and going to him in sincerity. So if we ask for something that doesn't get us closer to God, expect his answer might be try something else. The whole goal is we're drawing near each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're supposed to be learning from Jesus. And it's like, okay, ask, seek, knock. If I want to learn from Jesus, maybe I should ask for something that will help me do that. If you need a church term for that, it would be called discernment. Going through a time of discernment, what to ask for, and then ask for it. And if you have discerned, this is what God says will draw you closer to him, then go for it. And when you get there and you're almost there, don't whip out.
Right.
Ask, seek, and God told Solomon, you know, ask me for whatever you want. He specifically said, go ahead and ask whatever you want. You know, for a kid, that'd be kind of tempting. Say, man, they got a list.
Mm-hmm.
But Solomon says, no, I'm a kid. I need some wisdom. And God says, because you asked for something that wasn't selfish and just for you, I'll give you what you asked for, and I'll give you a couple other things like money and status and those things, and you'll live a long life, keep doing things my way. That's what he told him. He said, because Solomon was wise enough to know what to ask for. We should invest a little bit, figure out what to ask for. Okay, that was God. I'll get back to you in prayer in like 3.2 years, when I'm pretty sure I'll have a good idea of what I should ask for. No, it's a conversation. You know, you don't come into a conversation with a prepared speech.
Right.
You come in thinking about some stuff the other person's thinking. If you have a good back and forth, you grow a little. And I think our prayer should be more of a conversation with God instead of, man, I finally figured out what I need. Is it? Just start talking about what you think you need and take his direction in the back and forth there that doesn't come in an audible voice most of the time. But his spirit is inside of us to guide us. And, but, you know, Solomon's a good example. Solomon could have had, God said, ask for whatever you want. You're the man now, okay? You're king number three here, and you're going to be the smartest whatever. You don't know that yet because you had to ask for wisdom. But as a kid, imagine being a kid. And the genie pops up. Mm-hmm. You got three wishes. What do you want? Well, God says, the one who can really deliver says, what do you want? And he says, I need wisdom. And obviously, he had probably been thinking on that for a while, kind of like, how am I going to deal with this? So he knew what he needed, and he asked for it, and God provided. Once we know we've asked God for something that we need, then we need to pursue it. We need to go after it. We need to participate in our own success. Be a participant.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation's a gift, 100% from God, but this discipleship stuff, I keep mentioning, it's work. It's our part. We are supposed to do the things we're called to do. God's working with us. We go to prayer and he's providing things, but there is our part. And we need to do whatever that is. And don't be surprised when you come to the door that when opened, it gives you what you need. And when you're there, knock. Go ahead and knock. It's like, you're there. What are you waiting on? Now knock, the door will be open to you. Be ready for God to give you things that you need just because you realize that you need them. Just because of that time of discernment. You put some real effort into seeking them, and when the time was right, you completed the process, knocked on the door. Ask, seek, and knock. How do we put these words of Jesus into practice? Well, we want to draw near to God. We do want to do that. We want to be known as his disciples by his love. We want to take good news to the world, at least our part of it. Mm-hmm. We want to realize the fullness of life that Jesus promised. We want to do all these things. So figure out what we need to draw close to God. What is it that's holding me back? Do I need to get up earlier and start praying earlier? Do I need to go to a service or a study? What it is to start praying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then start doing the things you need to do to realize what you asked for. Start participating. It's like, okay, God, I ask you to, you know, help me make a, you know, make me into a more mature Christian, a stronger Christian, a better, whatever. Say, okay, God says, I'm here, but he says, what are you doing? What's your first step? What are you going to do? And when the day comes, you realize, seize it. Knock on that door.
Right.
Take what you saw. What do you do after that? What after you realize it? Repeat. Repeat the process. Because mm-hmm. we didn't fix everything in our lives with one request. So we ask, we seek, we knock. We know that it works, so we keep on pursuing. And it's a good cycle. It's one of those, that, you know, it's going to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to repeat after a success if we stick with this. If we ask, seek, and knock, we're being participants in everything that God is wanting to grant us anyway, I think we're going to find really, really good results.
It's a process.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And we as humans want it instant. We've grown comfortable with the immediate gratification culture.
Right.
In Amazon, I grit my teeth every time I open you up. It's like, oh, that's just one click. No, that was $17.94. Yeah, but it was. So it's tough to endure, to stay with it, to have some stick-to-itiveness and say, okay, putting his words into practice. Right now I'm asking, seeking, and knocking. I'm participating in getting what I think God wants me to have. So where are we? God does want us to have good things. In fact, he'll likely give you more than you ask for. He is a generous God. So ask for things that draw you nearer to God or those that he just told you to do. You'll put them into practice. Some requests or some requests we have might be more complicated than others as we're asking God to help us through a process or something. Asking God for peace and seeking it, we might get that right away. In fact, often that's exactly what happens. Comes in the moment. Seems like you don't have to do the seeking and knocking, but for things that are a little more substantial that require participation, yeah, you gotta go from asking to seeking, and then when you're there, knock. And it's simple scripture, but you know, I think it makes a point that we are to participate in realizing what we've asked for. But ultimately, be God who gives it to us, yes, but he's got a plan that involves us going that way. Like I said, you need a 4-year degree, you're going to plan some time. You are going to plan some time, and you probably need to plan a lot of prayer time to get through there in today's hectic world. If you want to be a United States Marine, I would say spend some time in discernment before you sign that paper. Because once you're there, you're going to do a whole lot of seeking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is all participatory. Yeah, it is. Okay. If you want to go a different path on something, just take the time in discernment, ask God for it, and then get to work. Do what we got to do. Understand we'll have trouble in the world. That's promised. But we are to take heart. Jesus overcame the world. It's not like you ask for it, there will be no obstacles. No part. Those obstacles might be part of your process
right. That
make you stronger. So when you get to where you're going, you're strong enough to handle it. But in this world full of trouble, God wants to give you exactly what you need and more. Exactly what you need and more. So ask, seek, and knock. And I think I wrapped up early, but that's
a good word.
Early?
It was, yeah.
You know what?
No, it was a good word altogether.
Oh, okay.
Not early.
Well, I was going to come up with other words, too. I like when Jesus uses the word soon. Yeah. Have you watched The Chosen?
I have not watched it yet. Monica watches it. I want to start watching it with my youngest.
It's good. I've watched several things, and they're good. Like what I like in this is the dialogue between Jesus and John the Baptist, who are relatives.
Uh-huh.
And they said, there's that word again, soon. Soon. And we look at the back of the Bible and say, Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
And people say, when's he coming? So I know exactly when he's coming. It's soon.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, is that like, could that be before 2024 is over? Could that be the end of the decade? Could that be another 1,000 years? You know, but in God's time, it's soon.
How long is soon?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Well, that's what I hate it when I see, you know, well-known, good reputation preachers and people in TV and stuff pick a date. It's like, really? Yeah. We were told not to do that.
Yeah, well, we were told. Even yeah. Jesus doesn't know.
Yeah, it's like we've been following your lectures and stuff, and you pick a date. So we're told not to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay. But everyone trips at some point, but, you know, it's he's coming soon.
He is coming soon. One of the most life-changing things for me, I think, was it's the battle of the mind. And my best friend challenged me to 30 days just listening to Christian music. And so that's how I found this program in the first place.
Okay.
It was back when Elk City had a Christian radio station, which I'm still sad we don't anymore. But I've been following this program. So this program really discipled me. I was at home with a toddler. She was a crazy busy toddler. I was distracted sometimes, but for the most part, the seeds were planted. And it really helped me along while I was isolated with not much adult interaction through the week. So,
yeah. And then they brought some people on like me. You question, are they an adult? You know, where'd they get that guy?
No. You've always been one of my favorites.
Oh. Well, hopefully it was because the truth was preached.
Yes, absolutely.
And not my overwhelming good looks or anything like that, which back on the radio is exactly the way I liked it. After they started putting the webcams and all that, I had to comb my hair before I went to the radio. But yeah.
Yeah, this program has been through a lot of changes over the years. But it's so neat how I feel like God made it spread even further, even though it's not on the radio anymore. Now it's on the website, and people can catch it on Facebook. And so back when I first started listening, I had a radio in my office. So if the toddler was being crazy, I had to run out of the room to go do whatever. Or if I went out of town, I couldn't listen to it. But now you can listen to it anywhere, either on Facebook or it goes out live on our website also. So
maybe one day both.
Yeah.
The airwaves and the internet. So we'll see. See where we're led.
It's been an interesting process watching from the other side, but it's been really neat being in this room.
I know I listen more on the radio because about the only time I had the radio on is when I was driving.
Right.
So that made it easy. If I'm in my office, I don't have anything turned on. If I'm studying the Word, I'm not one of those people who went through college with the radio on and, you know, a bag of popcorn and all that. It's like, it's time to study. I just sat down and studied.
Right.
And I kind of the same way now. I just try to block out everything. Occasionally I'll look up and someone's standing in front of my desk because I'm so deep into reading. I says, okay, so much for the Marine not getting caught off guard. But, you know, if you're really deep in the Word, it's easy. Just, you know, block everything else mm-hmm. out. So I don't have a radio on in my office. But driving around, I would have the hour power on. It was good to hear. And so it, you know, different things fit different niches on the website. And obviously the Facebook, you could log in whatever you want.
Right.
It catch up on that. So that's added mm-hmm. a new dimension that was tough before. And I think it was recorded before, but it was not quite as easy as it was now.
Yeah, I think they've gone through a lot of changes with all of the things around here. But on the website, well, you can also go back to the archives. We upload them to the website, so you can catch all of it on there, too. Mm-hmm. It's been a neat, neat program. And you were talking about Ask, Seek, and Knock. I was seeking, but at that time, I wasn't actually plugged into a church because the church we had been going to was no longer. So when you're asking and seeking, sometimes he answers your prayers. You just have to be aware to realize that that is the answer.
It's a door right in front of me.
Yeah. Because I started listening to this and getting seeds, and then I went in and got involved in a church, but I still listened to this. Because before, I didn't realize how powerful it is to have the word. But this program really helped enforce that and get it in there, even when I didn't think I was understanding it. When I need it, it comes back up. Yeah. So,
and hopefully most Christians have some sort of daily time for reading the Bible or reading a devotion at least, or something where they invest time. It's not a, you're not spending time, you're investing time.
Right.
In, you know, consuming God's word, internalizing God's word. And hopefully most of the people listening to this broadcast are also doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think the more people will start spending time in the word, the more people will see that their eyes are opened and they know it's time to come worship somewhere. So I'm confident even after 2020, whether it was a pandemic or plandemic, it doesn't matter. It hit every church out there.
It did.
And it's been slow coming back. But I think people are opening their eyes and saying, it's time to come home. There's some weird stuff going on in the world, mm-hmm. and maybe I need to be plugged in. And so it's, now if you come to the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Burns Flat, Tom is not preaching Revelation. He's preaching, put the words of Jesus into practice. Mm-hmm. So when he comes back, we're doing what he told us to do.
And if we're doing that, then we're reaching those people that aren't plugged into a church as well.
We are. And as Paul would say, so that some might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was ambitious and wanted to say all. God wants all. But I think even Paul realized, okay, I'm one human. All right, I've got a big ego, but I can't get everybody. So we need to go out and continue to invite and reach people. And when someone comes, in fact, this Sunday you go to preach Luke 15, there's a celebration in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The lost sheep and coin and the lost son. And it's like there's a big celebration when a sinner repents and comes home. And so that should be our motivation to go out and say, okay, I'm a celebration planner. You know, where am I going to go today? And we need more of that. I'm trusting that we will get more of that. And I'm praying that all of our congregations will be ready to receive people when they come. You know, God pours out his spirit in our time, and people start coming. We need to be ready to receive and mm-hmm. disciple them, and that doesn't mean lecture them. That means, hey, let's walk side by side as we follow the Lord.
Yes.
Let's help each other doing this. You know, I might be more experienced, but that's all right. There's no rank structure. It's you and me, and we're following Jesus. He's the only one that matters. So it's, you know, I'm looking forward to the years ahead and hoping we might just see the harvest. You know?
I think it's coming.
I know it's coming. Soon. Yeah. Soon.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming and sharing. Like I said, you've been one of my favorites for many years. I don't know how long you've been coming on.
Oh, I'm too young to come on. Too much. Young in my pastor's life.
It's been a few years.
I think about 15, probably, I think. Because while I was still, you know, even before I got ordained, still going to my seminary, Dwight said, you need to call Neva. Neva
mm-hmm.
will call you. And so I did. She hadn't let me go yet.
Yeah.
You know, I was crazy the first time I was on. You still want me back? But, yeah, I think it's been about 15 years. So it's, and who knows what this year will bring. Just press on.
This was a neat idea that the Holy Spirit led Neva, and Neva's obedience started this whole thing.
Yeah,
made a difference in my life and my family's life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there. So,
and we'll just keep praying the broadcast continues to reach people.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe the broadcast will expand, or maybe the people just tune in more. We'll see.
We'll see.
They can tune in either way. You know, if they were good on the air, they can still be good on Facebook.
And mm-hmm.
people can still adapt. Mm-hmm. The word's there if they want it.
It is. All right, I guess we can close now. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Tom Spence, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.